Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What it is, this is Tyrus and the Wise Men. Who are my wise men this week?
You got Trevor.
Identify yourself, wise man. Yeah.
You
got EC3 up here.
Got Jeezy up in here. What's going on, big homie?
Is Aaron in the house or no?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm there.
Okay.
I am here, ready and willing.
So how's everyone's week going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Feeling good. You know what I mean? Good to be here with
I saw your little video. Gotta be honest, man. I was thinking I was gonna get a little more, you know, a little more love than that, but it's all good. It's all good. I get it.
Nah, man, it's all love, big homie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, oh yeah. Has to be. So I guess she's like our overseer. Make sure we don't get in trouble. The last one ran off. We ran Dylan off. So now
We have a new babysitter.
Dylan retired. We have a new sheriff in town. Kate's going to keep an eye on us. First thing she did was she was like, hey, man, do you really like that picture of yourself on the podcast? And I was like, it's a little dated. She's like, yeah, do you even still have a mohawk? And I was like, okay, first of all, I chose to take it off. I could grow it back at any time, number one. But you are correct. You are correct. And she was like, aren't you a champion or something? And I was like, yeah. She goes, so maybe you should have a picture with a championship belt on it. And I was like, you know what? Thanks for stepping in. I appreciate the feedback. So,
actually, I mean, all of our pictures, right? Like, that's some of our WWE.
Except for EC3's. EC3's picture is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Like,
it's all about sales.
Yeah, you know, honestly, even if he's not on the show, we should just have his picture in the front. Just,
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
And
we're trying to hit a demographic, guys, a new demographic.
Yeah.
I mean, last week we're talking about makeup, and then there's that picture. I think that hit the demo just right.
Yeah.
I think maybe the next time we're all together, if we took a photo, right, like that could be a thing.
Yeah.
Make people's lives easier. Have photo Bob just get it.
Yeah, that would help.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, she's not like Dylan. I can't bully her with looks, and Dylan was afraid to get on the mic. Kate's got some stripes. This is not her first rodeo with me. So
let's interview Kate, because I'm always searching for a wife, I'll be honest.
Wasn't Kate our original babysitter? Like in the beginning of all
yes,
this?
And she walked away from it, got promoted, was living her best life. Apparently there was a bar fight and some things were said, and now she's starting over.
She's slumming with us.
Yeah, she's
we're very happy to have you back, Kate.
Very happy.
Yeah, she's just she's quietly weeping.
Yes.
She just said, do you have a subject for your podcast today, or are you just going to just randomly talk? Actually, you know what, man? I actually had one, fellas. I think it was after I watched. And if you haven't seen Jeezy's his video on Instagram, I suggest you check it out. I put it out there. It was inspiring, but he was dropping some knowledge, man, and it was pretty cool. So, but I got to be honest, man. EC3, I've known you for man. I don't even 2010. 13 years, 14 years, something like that.
Oh, that's a wild to think about. But yeah, I'd say 2012-ish.
Yeah. No, it was 2000. You were there when I got there in Christmas 2009. So yeah, or 2010. So yeah. FCW. Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while. You haven't aged a day. But your videos and stuff on social media is phenomenal. You're just going all out. The Caesarnet one was unreal. Like, when Because that's not something you've always had in your bag. You've always been able to be the type of guy who just, you really didn't need the accoutrement of the extra stuff because your mic skills are next level. So how did you start adding what is almost, I would have to say, your vignettes and promo are movie quality. The rest of us, not so much. Like, how could we spice up Jeezy's interview? Because it looks like he was hiding from his girl, making a video for his friends in his bedroom. How can we spice that up? Does we need to get Jeezy a green screen? Is that the key?
Well, it's interesting because like social media, sometimes the natural, unproduced stuff does better for your niche and your demographic. So what I do a lot is I just save stock footage from all the crazy shit I've done. I kind of overlay it to fit the moment. So I'm reusing and repurposing a lot of stuff. Plus, I hate putting my phone in my face and going, "Hey guys, guess what?
I'm going." Oh, that's the worst. Yeah.
So I try to keep it fresh, but at the same time, I don't know if it performs in our market, in our niche, which being wrestling. It performs better outside of it, but it's not providing the low-brained wrestling fan the amount of value they want because it's not dirty information. It's not like, you know, dirt cheap banter, and it's not like I'm shooting things. It's kind of an art thing for me. So when I just pick that up, what I tell the kids over at the CYM co-op, our first class starting soon, is I think Reels, the TikToks, and how the influencers do them are going to be the promos of the future. And there's no reason you shouldn't be putting your stuff out there as much as you can, because that's how you're going to get over. Because it's not going to be the same. Like, I emailed a promoter, I didn't hear back, and I got on this show. Like, you can build yourself online in a niche that's not necessarily wrestling, but grow a following. And promoter C, this dude has 50,000 followers. You're going to be on the show. I got to see Jeezy's video, though, because, like, one thing, too, if we're portraying ourselves as stars, I don't want to, oh, here's my wall. Do you like my wall I have behind me? So it's kind of like setting up something that has a professional look, because we are not civilians. We are stars, allegedly.
Right. And looks like Jeezy's going to have to be working from home for a little while. So I think we need to make him like a makeshift Jeezy's pit, like Piper's pit. Like he has a little, you know.
The Jeezy Lounge? Yeah.
The Jeezy Lounge. Yeah, I think that needs to be a weekly show.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
He can do that for a half an hour. He can cut it up and put little clips on each and every day. Strategic algorithm drops. Like, that shit I still don't know. And I want to hire a virtual assistant from India. They're like $7 an hour, apparently. But I can't find one that knows anything about wrestling. So just to keep it order structured. Like, I'll make the content. But I'll have them.
Right. See, that's the thing, is finding the man behind the Wizard of Oz, you know, who gets all the bells and whistles going, you know, because I can't film at home because my kids will just sense I'm doing something important and will come it up. Like, immediately we'll walk in like, "Dad, I need something." I'll be like, "I'm filming." "What you filming?" It's not even like a "oh" and a "backup," you know. Just, I don't get the respect that I deserve when I'm filming at home, so I don't even do it anymore. And I went out.
Do you ever have to do offsite hits?
Yeah. Usually, I will drive to a studio, then do it in my home because, again, especially Georgie will just stroll all up in there and be like, "What you talking about?"
The border. I don't know.
Yeah, and then she'll drop some. Then she'll drop some science like. So I try to do everything at work. But so let me throw this at you guys. So I've been watching a lot of wrestling lately, and I was thinking, and a match came across that I hadn't seen in a really long time, and I was like, "Man, this is one of the best matches." And I was of WrestleMania, and I never, like, when you say, okay, if you had to pick your top five WrestleMania matches, but not even that, I think across the board, if you think about Starcades and super events like that, or Fall Brawl or whatever, I think Starcade was the big, was their Super Brawl or Starcade, either one was like their big.
And,
yeah. And the way WCW did it was, it was like a month of events. So, you know, Ric Flair would start Starcade, and he would have like 8 title defenses during the Starcade shows, which I thought was kind of cool, because he literally could start champion when Starcade started and not be champion anymore. And And I always thought that was cool. And of course, you know, the WrestleMania. But when I think about like what were the matches that changed the game, you know, Andre and Hogan, you have to say, I think it got everybody, because the premise on that entire match was a body slam. But the psychology was unbelievable. I think it's the greatest psychological match. And there'll be like, well, they did it before in AEW, but they didn't do it like that. The build, the interview, the turn, it was just pure artistry the way the Andre to turn the, one of the most beloved people, not wrestler, people on the planet into an evil, heartless man with such an easy thing. He was looked over by Hogan. And that's such a real emotion. You know what I'm saying? It's like, here's a guy who was undefeated for 20 years and was the guy. Andre was the guy. Hogan comes along. Suddenly, Hogan's the guy. And this man who is everybody who wants to be around Andre. Andre's all of a sudden, he's a real human being. Even though he's bigger than life, he's got the same emotions that we have. Johnson got the promotion, and now I hate Johnson. You know, and it was such an ease. So when you look at, if someone was to say, how do I learn psychology? I would say watch from the Piper's Pit all the way up. You know, not the one where he just, not the first one where, or the second one when he rips the cross off, when Hogan's putting him over and he presents Andre with a trophy. Do you guys remember that? He was wrestler of the year. He presented him with this giant trophy.
Yeah.
And Andre just walks off.
Yeah.
And Hogan says he's so humble, you know, like, and it was just a little peek into what was about to happen. And no one would even thought that because Andre was the very definition of the baby face. Like, he was the guy, and he was only champion because he didn't want to be. And that's one of the things one of the stats, I know this is going to hurt Trevor's feelings a little bit, but I am pound for pound physically the biggest NWA champion of all time. But I said there's an asterisk by that because Andre could have won that title whenever he wanted to. He just chose not to. So you really can't claim to be that because there was literally an elephant in the room at any time could have walked in and headbutted his way to a championship. So for me, psychologically, that was the greatest match. But in WrestleMania 3, I definitely you'd say Savage and Steamboat, right? But Adonis and Piper was the same thing.
Bingo. That is my favorite match. I'm sorry to cut you off. That is my favorite match of all time.
Adonis and Piper.
Yep. If you watch that match from the beginning to the end, and if you look at that match and like, I'm not even going to say how graceful Adrian Adonis moved at about 285 and just, you look at the timing and like, look, as wrestlers, we're very much into the kind of mechanics of it. But if you look at it from a, like an entire set of people, right? Like Andre was one of the most beloved people. And that's what makes, in my opinion, a really successful wrestler is if the average person can identify with this man, right? Or woman or whoever. And that's what's going to get the people that aren't watching wrestling to watch. By the way, the same goes through to any form of entertainment. But if you look at that match, the entire crowd did not shut up the entire
match. No, they were hot the entire match.
Yeah. Yeah, that just says something right there, man. And that's what a pro wrestling match should be, in my opinion, from start to finish.
Those matches had an emotional connection. And what we're all talking about is real feelings that everybody in the room can understand. It's not complicated. I think sometimes as wrestlers make it more complicated when we should just try to focus on like basic real emotions and having that connection with the audience.
Yeah.
Bingo.
And it was great psychology. The Adonis Piper buildup again was what, a month, 2 months?
Oh God. Yeah. And that's what's missing in wrestling is long-term storytelling. And that's long-term storytelling across the board. You know what I mean? And in every company, it just seems like they don't want to give anything the time to breathe and develop.
It's ADD culture, and that's, you know, unfortunate. Each and every fan you kind of talk to, too, from the super smart mark to the most hardcore to casual fans, they all clamor for storytelling. Now, sometimes when you give it to them and they're impatient, we're the ones that are not us, but offices pull the plug too soon.
Yep.
Where they refuse to take that step back to take the three steps forward. Because if they take that step back, then they're getting yelled at by networks. If your revenues are down slightly, the number dipped a little bit. Sometimes you have to take that hit to grow.
Do we still have Jeezy with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
What do you say about this, Jeezy?
I mean, admittedly, I haven't watched those matches in a long time, but I agree. It's all about the psychology. It's all about the emotion. And like these days, like you guys said, companies just focus on like the flashy moves and like just the moves, the egregious moves and lack of psychology, just the stupid stuff, the stuff that'll get guys hurt. They focus on that too much instead of the emotion, which is what it's about. It's about the character. Like pro wrestling, like TV wrestling, in my opinion, is easy. It's gotten easier and more adaptable to me since I've been with NWA, but it's the only way to go. You know what I'm saying? Because it makes you more of an attraction. Like anybody can go out there and do a bunch of moves, but yep. The audience, they're going to remember it for like 10 or 15 seconds. Like the audience, the paying customer, they're going to remember the promos that were done, the character, the storytelling, the emotion, you know what I mean? Just like movies, just like the great movies and TV shows that you watch and rewatch because of the emotion behind it. You're not necessarily like the moves and the fight scenes of movies and TVs, similar to wrestling, the flashy moves is cool. You know what I mean? But it's all about the story and the emotion, in my opinion.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code DUFFY10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Well, nope. It's about, Trevor, it's about whether you're playing chess or you're playing checkers. Checkers are just flashy moves.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And but here's the thing, and such a good point that they pull the plug. If you look at like when I feel like it's so weird we have to go so far back to talk about psychology. But I'll put it on me and Sandow. Aaron and I tried it, and it got pulled. But we tried it. We old school. We did it. He broke my leg. I was in a boot knee sleeve, all in the airport, all over wherever I went. I walked to the ring with a limp. The entire match I sold, I had a limp. To at one point, I got chewed out for moving too slow in the ring, where I said, well, my legs hurt because Sandow broke it. And I was told, well, guess what? You're healed. So you know, and the problem, and as again, the story isn't about the matches. And like when you look at like right now, and I'm not trying to nitpick, but the biggest story, obviously, that I think in that's being played out in wrestling right now, NWA, we got the Crockett Cup. So we'll see what comes of that, what stories come out of that. But, you know, if you look at, you know, Cody and Brock, right, that's the – and I think Brock broke his arm or something like that or hurt his arm or whatever. The difference between today and when storytelling was how they made their money and built their fans, and I would argue built the foundation of what – of wrestling is today, is he would have not wrestled for 6 weeks. He yep. would have came out on TV with his arm in a sling for 6 weeks, you know, and then at some point we would get the payoff. You know, when Ole and Arn and Flair broke Dusty's leg, he told the story like he was probably not going to wrestle again. And people felt that. And he was out there limping around. He was at home sitting on a couch complaining about not being able to take care of his family. which is hilarious because, you know, before his leg break, he was talking about Rolexes and fur coats. So it like goes from like you living the life to all of a sudden the horsemen have taken everything away from you. But that's psychology. And I'm trying like what let me let's go with Trevor first. What would be your Mount Rushmore of matches to where someone had never seen wrestling before? You would say you need to watch. Let's just cut it down. We'll say three. You need to watch these three matches. What would it be?
All right. One of them that just, I don't know if I can give you three, but like one of the matches that keep popping up in my head is more of a series is the Benoit Booker T Best of Seven series.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And for 7 weeks, those guys went out and told a story on who the best wrestler was going to be. It wasn't even with the moves and stuff they were doing, they were going out there, being technical. I would probably have them watch that series for sure. Of course, you got to throw in, you know, Randy Savage and Steamboat. Like, that's just, I don't know, that would definitely be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it has to be.
And then, of course, I'm a Harley Mark. Flair and Harley for the NWA World Heavyweight title, you know, Flair for the gold. That series was really good stuff, too.
Aaron?
Hey, Ron.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. So, yeah, all right. So, I would have to say again, Piper and Adonis, number one. That's just my personal favorite in terms of what you're looking at storytelling and the essence of what professional wrestling is. I'm going to say Rock Hogan.
Yeah.
Because if you look at psychology, man, and then those guys switched that up in there. And that was two well-trained masters of their craft, you know, doing it on the fly. And then there's nothing better, in my opinion, than when you're out there in front of however many, right? Like 10,000 people, 80,000, whatever. And you're just going by the seat of your pants. Tyrus, you and I have done that, right?
Yep.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a blast when it's flowing too, when it's going, when everything you do, they react to, you know, and Hogan would be on mine too. Continue.
Yeah. And I'm going to say this, I'm going to go way back. Gorgeous George versus Pat O'Connor, because you had a time when wrestling was being presented as a legitimate sport around the time of television. Tidbit of information, when television was first made available to everybody in the United States, there were two things. You had the news and you had wrestling. Wrestling was very easy to produce. You put a camera in the arena, you have all the drama and everything else. Gorgeous George was the guy that really said, hey, I'm going to use this as a form to promote myself. And that's why he was the first guy to have the long robes. He had the blonde hair with the bobby pins and everything, and really made a presentation out of what he did. And that, I think, like you had people believing that he was like this in real life, because it hadn't come out that wrestling, you know, was a complete show. And then Pat O'Connor, who was this straight laced sort of just, you know, no frills, good guy or babyface champion. And I thought that was just such a great thing. And if you watch what they did, they really just played it up to the T. And I don't think, like I said, that era of wrestling, it gets overlooked a lot. But if you go back, there really are some hidden gems.
Yeah. And Jeezy, what you got?
Okay, so two matches were already mentioned that I agree with 100%, and that's Hogan and Rock, and also Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat. Personally, for me to add, I would have to add something involving Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero. And I say this because those two, to me, were the perfect pro wrestlers. And also, everything that they do, that they've done, is also like it's that old school 90s New Japan junior heavyweight psychology, which is what made me fall in love with wrestling because of my size. Like, that was like, that style is always like the guys that you know, looked at as, although they're the little guys, but they're the guys that are athletic. Like, when you watch Benoit and Guerrero work, they were so great that you didn't focus on their size. You focused on their ability. It went from being, man, those guys can work for their size. It was, those guys can work. And they always tore it up. So, like, the things that Benoit and Guerrero did, that's definitely, like it's a great selling point. It shows what, like, guys like Jushin Thunder Liger and Ultimo Dragon, Shinjiro Otani, all of the great old-school New Japan junior heavyweights from the early 90s, You know what I mean? It showcased that. And like that, again, that's like the ultimate style for me. That's the style that I fell in love with, you know? So it would be definitely, that would definitely, for me, be number one on my list, you know?
Right, those are, that's pretty solid. EC3, you're kind of, I'm kind of really interested to hear what yours are, because you're, I like to call you a tweener, because you can wrestle a guy my size, and then you can go in and you can wrestle a guy Jeezy's size. Obviously, two different styles, and no one really kind of skips a beat. No one's like, "Oh, EC3's got no shot." You know what I mean? You're the one of those, in one of those weird situations, which is valuable because that means from top to bottom you can work anybody on the card.
Yeah, I rule. I'm going to kind of look at this a little differently, because I think when you first posed the question, you said, "What's something you would show somebody who's not a fan that make them become a fan?" So the following choices include the storyline hype videos that play before the match, because I think that's what would engage somebody right off the bat to sit through 20 minutes of wrestling if they know why these guys are wrestling. So Eddie and Benoit, we'll watch that all day. But wrestling, you put that out for a normal person, they're like, they just won't understand or appreciate what it takes. It is kind of like, that looked cool, I guess. So one would be Taker and Shawn. In the second match, I think that was WrestleMania 26.
Yep.
It's a retirement match, because the hype video beforehand, like every part of that story is told in that little video. And again, what's missing from the business is you care who wins, care who loses. There's circumstances to what happens. And then even if you don't know these two guys, there's a big, tall, dead man and this kind of flashy guy, but, you know, he's old now. But this is his career, and they highlight it, so that would probably have to be engaged just based on the video, and then the work is phenomenal.
Michaels and Undertaker was a great choice too.
Yeah, that one was tight, and that's up there, man. Wow. Yeah.
Well, while we wait for EC3 to get back on, we lost his signal. He must be getting his cup of coffee.
Am I back?
Oh, you're back. You're back. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, WrestleMania 17, based on that hype video and the interview with JR. Because Austin said everything that was going to happen and what he was going to do to win, and he did it. And then you can feel that. And then I guess the third, maybe Rock and Brock at that SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah.
Because the hype was like so hype about these are two stud athletes. This is how they're going to do it. Like Rock's agile and experienced. This Brock's a powerhouse. And it was very realistic fight feel to him. That's it.
So for me, it would be the first would be Dusty Rhodes and Superstar Billy Graham bull rope match in Madison Square Garden. Same thing with the hype going in that you had, and just the crowd. I think if you want to look at what was the hottest crowd, it was like Madison Square Garden or Philadelphia, where the fans were just they reacted to everything. And the storylines would go into it, you know, and Dusty was coming from the South, and Superstar Billy Graham, rest both their souls. Superstar Billy Graham was the first body guy, right? He was the guy he was the originator of the Pythons, and like he obviously his name was after a famous preacher, so he was using raps and music songs in his promos and stuff, and he was bigger than life and all this other kind. And Dusty was the guy you wanted to drink a beer with and could kick your ass maybe in a fight. You know, it would have your back in a beer in a barroom fight. So for that, you know, for me. And then WrestleMania 1 was such an easy story with, you know, Mr. T and Hogan and Piper and Orndorff. But I'm trying to think if I could pick one from that era. Like there was that. But then Piper and Snuka was another one of those feuds that like anyone would get. He hit him in the head with a coconut and disrespected him. The problem is we never really got the payoff with Snuka and Piper. One of the things about Piper that as a talent I used to admire, now as a talent who gets it, I kind of shake my head a little bit. He would never do the favor. And that was like his thing, you know. I get not why he didn't want to do it with Hogan. I get it. But you hit a guy lets you hit him in the head with a coconut, you take the splash.
Yeah,
you know?
Do the favor.
Yeah. You do the favor.
Yep.
You know, just, you know, thank God for Cowboy Bob Orton, who doesn't
he wouldn't have lost nothing. If he,
No, I look back at that. I think that's the one thing. I think the one reason why Piper doesn't get as much credit as he does as an in-ring performer was because he never finished the stories. And that's coming from a child who cheered for him when everyone booed him. You know what I'm saying? So it's not a diss. It's like, so for those reasons, you got to like disqualify Piper because he did all the stuff to get the heat, but he never really paid it back. And which is ironic because Adonis did do that for him.
Mm-hmm.
Where Piper wouldn't have done that for Adonis. It would have been a count out or a disqualification.
Yeah.
Or
Orndorff
getting hit in the head with a cast or Cowboy Bob Orton taking the splash. But that intensity of that error. But so I will go with WrestleMania 1 just because it could tell such a great story, and then you would have the name. Oh, I remember who Mr. T was and all the pageantry, and it kind of was the starting point. So I got Dusty and Superstar in Madison Square Garden in the bull rope match, and I got that. And then it's hard not to talk about Hogan and Rock for no other thing. That was the super fight that you don't get. That was Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, or, you know, that was the two icons of that era. And again, in a time when there was a lot of icons, like, you know, Triple H, Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, you know, there was a whole slew of guys that could have been in that Rock position. But I think Rock's crossover to Hollywood and being so successful and Hogan being Hogan, it just kind of it kind of fit. You can say what you want about Hogan the person or Hogan how he treated guys that he worked with, maybe always wasn't the best. But in terms of crowd reaction, it's hard to say anything about him, you know. And then if you want to say, well, he really didn't work. No. Watch Hogan in Japan. He could work. He just knew how to work. And he knew what was going to get. I don't know if he got – being in the ring with Hogan elevated you. I don't know if it – if you – after Hogan, it was kind of like you had to reset. You had to start over. And I think that's one of the things you got to look at. Like, did he really help guys get over, or did guys just feed him over after he fed off them? Then they go back to the pile and have to figure it out.
Well, that was more of a, I would say, from an office standpoint and a creative standpoint, or back then it was called booking, which in my opinion is what still should go down today, as opposed to a bunch of people out of college or whoever that think that they know how to do this, just writing for network TV when and again, wrestling is one of those niche things where it's different. Like, you cannot approach it the same way, right? Like, you don't write a movie the way you would write a TV show,
right?
It's just not, it's not similar. And I think, like, that's what's missing in wrestling now, is when we say this long-term storytelling, you know, that includes character development and all the people we're mentioning. These are characters that, like, whenever we say them, we all have these images in our mind, whether it's Piper walking down the aisle with the bagpipes, you know, smashing the coconut, Hogan and Andre face to face. And I think that's the main thing that I think in this society today, where we live in the, ADD or just very short term attention span, shall we say, that's really affected things, because I think, like, wrestling appeals to the human condition.
Right?
Can we agree with that? Like, where we have this good and evil, and there's a very primal sort of archaic, like, ritual in it, right? Like, when you watch it and things like that. So I just think that, again, if we could still, I mean, and you can have a variety show. You can have your guys doing crazy moves, but I challenge any promoter to take maybe just two storylines and map them out. And then, you know, if you're not wanting to lose ratings, fine. You have your chaos elsewhere, but, like, look, there's a reason. Okay, modern art is great with all the shapes and colors and everything, but there's a reason that the Mona Lisa is still the most iconic painting in the world.
Yeah,
modern art.
And she was a solid five at best, even back then. Like, at best. Let's be honest. Mona Lisa wasn't hot. Like, she was.
It is statistically proven her facial dimensions, although she doesn't have makeup, but the dimensions on her faces equate with the Fibonacci sequence, and that's the most attractive you can be. That's what.
Well, you know, I don't know. Then she needs to pinch her cheeks or something, put a little rouge on there, but she's a little long in the tooth.
Those same facial dimensions. And
we'll be back with much more after this.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And my third pick, Aaron, would be for no other reason than you are going to get up and what the hell was that? And it would be Arn and Ole Anderson versus the Road Warriors. Because when the Legion of Doom came out, I don't care if you like wrestling or not, you are going to go, what in the blue? Jesus, look at the size of them. And
yes,
you know,
they were going to hurt somebody.
Oh, yeah. And Ole and Arn were tough guys. And Arn, no one's put over. How can I even just? He's not a coward, but he does things in a way that was just like he'd nail Hawk, and Hawk would flex up on him. He'd take two steps back and just kind of look around at Ole like, shit, what have I done? You know,
yeah,
he just had a way of like the way he retreated. He was trying to bring you in for a trap, but he just was so good at you just wanting to him to see he get his ass whipped. You know, like, and he just had a way, and he was another thing that he did was he perfected the art of making the mistake in the ring. One of the cool when they had their feud with Dusty and Magnum TA, and they were Sam Houston was the official Spike Dudley, just getting murdered every week. They had a thing where him and Ole were whooping him in the corner, and they mistimed a tag and trying to hold him. He just slid out the back, ran around and rolled in and tagged Dusty. And I remember Arn just looked at Ole and two of them were like, you know, and like kicked the ropes and then he walked into two arm drags and a drop kick and then called timeout and rolled out like that. And the people are laughing at him like, you idiot, you had him. And that is just the genius of when you get you can't call the Road Warriors a gimmick, but they were physical and looks like everything. And I one of the cool things, I think, Aaron, you were there for this when Animal came down to coach at FCW, I was like his guy for a while, and he kept making me throw Fat Jesus around.
Yeah,
do you remember that? Because he's from a different, you know, he's from a different era where, you know, you work hard, and if you don't work hard, you get thumped up a little bit. And we had a guy who I affectionately call Fat Jesus. No relation to Jeezy. he threw. Remember? So, do you guys remember when it was the Undertaker and Taker was, and I'm getting off base a little bit, but this, I just love this story.
The last outlaw,
Jeezy and Trevor. Do you remember when Taker was the last outlaw?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's like a week.
So do you know that name was trademarked? So the WWE couldn't use it.
Heard about that.
So the owner of said trademark, and I cannot confirm or deny this story, but I feel it's true. The owner, Aaron, EC3, back me up. The owner of said rights, they offered a six-figure opportunity for him, cash or check, whatever, for the rights to the name. They would buy the rights to the name from him. A very healthy check.
Take it.
He was going to get paid for the name.
Yes. Six figures.
For a name.
For a name.
Just a thought.
Yep.
Okay, take it.
And so he decided to. And remember I said some people play checkers and some people play chess. This was a checker player who decided to break out the old chessboard and said, instead of the six figures, how about a contract?
What?
So
what?
Yes, thank you.
Which was not a six-figure contract.
Which was not a six-figure contract, nor was it guaranteed.
You can't see me now, but my head is in my hands right now.
Jeezy, are you feeling me right now?
This happened.
Yep. I heard the story.
So he shows up to FCW.
legend
walks in the door. And unfortunately for me, I was one of the first people to see him. And he had these little tiny baby hands when he shook my hand, and it freaked me out.
Because what's he look like? Give me a high.
Fat Jesus. He looked like.
I'm fat Jesus. Are we talking 500 pound fat?
No. He looked like
400. So that.
Like,
so
4 foot, 500 pounds.
He was about. I'd say I'll give him 6 feet. Had so never seen a gym in his life.
Fat Jesus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
and by the way, when you says Jesus, we're talking about the Renaissance depiction of Jesus with the, you know, there was a the
yeah, not the actual son of Christ. No, I mean the son of the Lord. To be how's the the acolyte? Who was the he had the eye with the
Midian.
Midian.
He looked like if Midian didn't work out. Yeah, but he looked Midian could go.
Okay. Midian could.
Yeah. So he was and he had these little tiny baby hands. And he gets there for the first day of training. And
he stinks, by the way. He stunk.
Yeah. But we get in the ring and we had a warm up we had to do every day. And I believe it was Mr. Steve Kern was in charge of the school at the time. And I think it was Dr. Tom there at that time.
Yes.
I believe he was.
Yeah. And
how old is this cat?
Oh, no one knows Jesus's real age.
He could have been 28. He
was probably the most shot out 23-year-old you ever met in your life.
Yeah.
You know, and he gets in there and we're doing the thing and we've got, we got the main ring for TV, and we have three rings in the back. He informs Mr. Kern and Dr. Tom that he's tired and weary from travel, and if there was a place he could take a nap. Unto which Steve Kern said to him, yes, you can have the main ring. We'll turn the lights out for you. And while we trained, he went into the main ring, rolled in the center of the ring, and took a nap.
Oh man, this guy was batting 1,000. Oh my God.
He is the most over first dayer of all time. That's most people, right, their first day in the WWE training facility, they're nervous. They have to they want to put their best foot forward. You know, if anything, they'll go a little too hard, you know, because they're trying to show they belong. He didn't have any of these issues. Was not concerned at all. So Dr. Tom came to me and Mr. Kern came to me and he said, he's taking a nap. And I said, no. And they said, yes. And they knew me being an instigator that they would not take long before I tell my brethren that the new guy's taking a nap. So we'll train for him. And we went through our trainings or whatever. And then a few days go by and now we're doing in-ring stuff. And I have to get in the ring with him. And we're doing, you know, we're doing spot training and working on grabbing holds and things like that. And let me feel your forearm shot. Throw a shot at me. Let's see what you got. Let's see, this dude's got some pop, you know? When he threw the first forearm, I was like, did this dude hit me or not? But he made such an aggressive noise when he hit you that he would go, he would go, rah, rah. But he didn't hit you. It was like, wrestling simulated combat sport, it's physical. You got to beat each other up. It's going to hurt.
Yep.
Okay.
You got to lay it.
The only thing that's decided is the finish. The rest is you got to earn that. And you look at any guy who spent any time in the ring at a high level, he ain't walking out the way he walked in. Okay. Let me just preface that. But he misses forearms. You don't miss forearms. But his noise, brack, brack. I was like,
it sounded like a video game. Like when you kill zombies, if there's like 100 zombies, when you kill it, brack, 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 brack. You know what I mean? Like
that. I have this image of those guys that take the lightsabers, the toy lightsabers, and they make the wall.
Yeah,
And he probably has a Jedi robe now.
I'll 1,000%. 1,000%. And I snatched him, and then Dr. Tom, and Norman Smiley, he doesn't get out of this. Norman Smiley's just in shock. Now, Norman Smiley is probably one of the most complete wrestlers ever. And he was tough on me. Like, he would pick my stuff apart, and I became a better wrestler for it. So I'm very appreciative of Norman Smiley. But Norman Smiley just couldn't believe it. He was like, I went through hell to get in this business. All I had to do was trademark a name. And so I have to have a match with him. And you call it out there. You know, that's just the way that we were trained. If you train that way, you'll be that way.
Yep.
You don't go sit off in the corner and you just, you know, whatever. And as many of you know, I have been T-boning suplex people. I used to do a lot of different ways. And you would hear me sometimes say, watch the T-bone, which means I'm about to snatch your ass up and T-bone you. I snatched him up, he held on to me for dear life like he was afraid. And I was trying to do it, and this is my mistake. I was trying to do it to where let him take his own bump. It's practice, you know, not trying to sling a guy who I didn't know if he had the ability to land flat or not. And I was not in the business of trying to hurt anybody, no matter how tiny their baby hands are. And when I hooked him, he held on, and it made me like go, this dude holding on to me? Like clinging for dear life. So when I went to let him go, waiting for him to let himself go, he just held on. So when I came down, he was on top of me, and I stayed there. One, two, three. One, two, three. And Dr. Tom said, what the hell was that? And I listened. He countered me. I couldn't do anything. He countered me. This guy's good, man. This guy's a counterpuncher.
He's got it.
He's like, you've got 6 minutes left. What are you going to do? I'm going to go contemplate my life in the bathroom for the next 5 minutes because I just got my T-bone just got countered by, well, Fat Jesus, and everyone started laughing, and that's where it's at. So the following week, Animal comes in, and Fat Jesus hasn't gotten any better. He's actually gotten cocky. He's surrounded himself, and when he hit the forearm with another guy, and Animal said, what are you doing? What are you doing in my ring? He took it as a personal offense to the brock, brock, like Lex Luger's off the hook. Like anyone who's listened to Lex Luger match, the noise that, he's off the hook. He's off the hook. Brock, brock. And he did that, and Animal just looked at me and was like, hey, come here. Suplex this, quote, motherfucker. Until he can't walk anymore. So I had to blow myself up. And by this time, I was no longer allowing him to hold on. And it was like throwing a bag of oatmeal. And probably gave him six of them before he said, I'm thirsty. I need to roll out. This dude had an excuse for everything. The next day, he
just
calls
the
in.
Right out of the system.
Yeah, he calls, has his wife call in, said he had a rough day at practice yesterday. He's going to take the day. And it was the day that John Laurinaitis had come in to see the troops. And he asked where his new guy was. Where was the last outlaw? And Kern said, oh, he had a rough day yesterday. And his wife called in and told him to take the day. And John said, what? And he said, his wife called in, said he had a rough day. And he's taking the afternoon. And unfortunately, there was another guy who rode in with him who also took the day with him. I forget. I remember he had giant zits in his back all the time. But... And John said, go ahead and ring those guys up for me in front of everybody. Speakerphone. He said, heard you had a rough day yesterday. He's like, yeah, we're just going to rest. I'll be ready to go tomorrow. You're not, actually. You're fired. Like, thanks for coming. You're fired. And so I said, and that's when Kern said, you know, they offered him $100,000 for the name. He just got 3 weeks of getting his ass kicked. I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, wait a minute, say what? So, yeah, he literally could have. But it was the Animal who made suplexed him out of, you know, six figures. But
actually, I think that needs to happen sometimes in the business. You guys know as well as I do, we all watch a lot of wrestling, and there are a lot of guys that shouldn't be stepping through them ropes. And just maybe if they had to go through a little bit of an aggressive, rougher training to earn it, though, some of those guys may get weeded out of our business.
Well, you know, and here's the thing.
I agree.
Every one of us here went through that.
Yep.
Bill DeMont tried to make me quit. And I was like, I'm not quitting, because he was like, you have to earn the right to be in this ring. But that goes into, and I'm not, you know, we're trying to just keep this wrestling today, but it always, art imitates life. Sports imitates life. When you take that away in every aspect to where no one has to earn anything, or you don't have the ability to say, you're not good enough. You don't have it. We're not going to lower the level of standard and expertise to do this skill, this sport, for you. So if you can't meet the bar, you don't belong here. That's fair. The NFL's not going to change. They're not going to have overweight wide receivers because somebody wants to be a wide receiver. I'm 5'4" by 5'4". And I can't catch, but I always wanted to be a wide receiver. So the Colts are going to draft you with the first pick because, well, it makes you feel good. And if they don't do it, it's going to hurt your feelings. So, and we're going to, you know, everyone will be like, that's ridiculous. He has no business being there. Wrestling is the same thing. Although the thing is about it, there's no, and EC3 always hits on this. There's no certificate. It's not like you go to school to be a doctor where like you can like, yo, are you a doctor? Yes, I have all my credentials here, you know. Here's the school I went to. Here's where I did my internship or whatever the hell they do it, whatever they call it. Wrestling is like, you know, I just got in my backyard, hit my buddy with a chair. I'm in the biz, Briz, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I had an interaction on Instagram. A couple talents got a hold of me. They're a tag team. And they, you know, send me their resume. Some I'm not running shows. I just open kind of school. So I'm like, I'm telling them what I'm doing is independent reconditioning and like it's training, not so much a school. They're like, oh, well, you know, we're trained already. And they send me a resume and like, this means nothing to me. Like, this person trained me. Who?
Who?
These letters signify a promotion we work for. We're champion in 4 different promotions. And I'm like, send me a match. So they sent me this match. And it, you know, it's independent for sure. And they just don't have any coaching or tutelage or guidance. So I broke it down how we would break things down back in the day, like move for move, intricate. Like I took an hour to break this match down to where they kind of opened their eyes to, okay, yeah, maybe a resume isn't necessarily a real thing.
Wow.
Well, and ultimately, you should just be able to go and show me a match. We've all been around the business long enough that we can watch one match and know whether or not the guy can work or not. And that's all you ultimately need, right? Like that's all I need.
Yeah.
It's a very, very interesting time to be in the wrestling business. And I think the sad part is I was talking to a friend of mine who was saying, like, in the medical field, I know this is completely off topic, but the quality of students that are getting nursing degrees and doctorate, like, it's apparently it's starting to show because a lot of the quality of the nurses are going downhill and patients are suffering because of it. And again, in our little world of wrestling, this has been going on for quite some time. Like with the Last Outlaw there, I remember my first day back in the WWE. I think I saw Tyrus. He was the first guy or second guy I saw after I walked in. And then I saw this guy and I'm like, what's he? Is he the maintenance man? Like I had
no idea.
Yeah,
you did say that.
Yeah. I was like, is he like, what, why is he here with us? Cause he just, again, it's absolutely mind blowing.
He was described as a bag of oatmeal.
Yeah.
Affectionately.
Yeah. Again, you know, we need to check each other. I think that's the importance of having a good group of people surrounding you to make sure that you're on point professionally as well as personally. But I guess with a lot of people, they're just not doing it now. They're just letting kind of this like lackadaisical and this this very egocentric ideology. You know, as long as I get the 5-second clip for Instagram or I get the picture or whatever for TikTok, whatever the hell it is, it's just... It really is. I think the quality of just everything is not what it could be, and that's about as
well.
Nice
I'm
as I
participating,
can put that.
And that's good enough. That's the mindset. Because here's the thing: we're not above this. Okay, we've all been fired. Okay, and I am the first one to go, and I went straight to Aaron, and I said, "Watch my match with Kratos." If I'm behind or I'm not holding up my end of the bargain, tell me and I will get the out of here. Like the pandemic was just such a long layoff and I had gained weight and I had not been in the ring in probably a year and a half. And I was like, I don't know if I can do it at a high level or not. And I will tell myself, because that's just who you are as a competitor. You're not going to, you know, you might know in the core of core, it wasn't great, but you're not going to, sometimes you won't admit it to yourself, you know? And I was like, you know, and Aaron was like, yep, you need to lose some weight. But, you know, wasn't it's not over. You just need to get the rust off. You know, and I took that and I was like, you're right. And I went and bust my ass to do that. But not everyone, some people, if I would have came in and been like, that was great, you know, and you're like, nah, man, your elbow could have looked a little slow. This movement was this and that. Like, you know, just your holds weren't as crisp as they should be. You know, that's a friend. That's someone tells you good job and you were the shit, so that's not your friend, you know, but well, I participated. I showed up. So I'm winning. Like, where's my strap?
You also wanted to know the truth.
Yes.
Like a lot of guys nowadays, and I'm not trying, you know, not picking any one person out. They don't want the truth. They just want somebody to say, good job. Like you're the greatest. Like you've made it, kid. So don't worry about getting better. Don't focus on getting yourself better in the ring, faster, quick, whatever it is you need to do to get better. Once they get to a certain spot, they think, I've made it. I'm here. I've got a deal. I don't need to get better. And that's killing the business as well.
Yeah, because I know how to do moves.
Yep.
You can take anybody off the street and teach them three wrestling moves, and you can get through a match, but it's not going to be a wrestling match. You know, and that's
there you just, have it. Yeah.
That's where it's at. But before we go, anybody have anything special coming up?
Well, I have the trailer for You Should Probably Leave on Netflix. The season's going to drop pretty soon, so you can see me at a drive-thru getting upset, and there was a whole – actually, I think there was like three or four scenes with it, so that's all I have.
I got a little something a couple, 3 weeks ago. I got filmed to do an episode of Dark Side of the Ring with Harley.
Oh, nice. Oh,
cool.
Got to tell some stories about Harley, and, you know, obviously you can't tell everything because you're trying to break kayfabe.
Well, not just that, and some things are nobody's business unless they are in the right to be
nobody's
there.
Business.
And that doesn't mean it's so all bad. It just means some things are, you got to earn the right to share those moments.
That's right. So that was pretty cool. So hopefully next season that'll be coming out.
EC3?
Yeah, I mean, I just dropped my phone. Doesn't matter because I'm talking to Bluetooth. Yeah, we got a Crockett Cup coming up, right? We're down there in Winston-Salem.
Yes, we do.
The third, yep. The fourth. I have a big national championship match against that a very special talent that is Thrillbilly Silas. Short of that. I opened an academy, so it's a cooperative, the CYN cooperative. It's in Cleveland, Ohio. The first thing we're doing is independent reconditioning. I don't know how many independent wrestlers is Fox News, but hopefully a lot. So get a hold of me.
Hannity might be one.
Yeah, he does jiu-jitsu.
Even experienced guys need to contact you, man. Like,
you always need to get like better. Us. You always need to get better. I don't care who you are. Jeezy?
Me, I just got my usual treatment going on every week for my current condition. Looking forward to be given the green light for physical therapy and training and getting back in the gym to start working out to get my weight back, get my muscle mass back, you know. Other than that, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, things are positive right now though, so that's a great thing.
All right. Let's see for me. Enough said, my second book is already on the best-selling wrestler list. It comes out in November, so it's got a little bit of time. It's going to be a great Christmas present. I'm excited about that, finishing that. I believe I sent you all mean texts about you guys better start writing, telling you if you don't do it, you need to do it.
You did it. You've always inspired me. When your first book came out, like that was my wake-up call to get writing.
I was supposed to get a hold of you a couple days ago.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up, Trevor. You and I got beef.
I know. Hey.
Off mic conversation.
As a man, I take full responsibility and accountability for my
behavior. Of course, Tyrus Live is doing phenomenal. Another sold out show. I was at the Gulf Shore, Alabama, and capacity crowd. And at the end of the show, the mayor and various members of the GOP party and in Alabama, Roll Tide, decided to proclaim May 19th NWA World Heavyweight Champion Tyrus Day. So I was very honored by that and it was awesome. And I asked, and I thought that was great because Gulf Shore also was part of the old territories for the Flares, the Rhodes, the the Harleys, the Garvins, the Blanchards, the Magnums, you know, the Andersons. They all wrestled in those in that great town. It's a great vacation town, and so I was very, very honored and excited to do that. And of course, Gutfeld Show and Fox is just going great, and our little podcast is doing pretty good, and we've got some good things coming. But all things end, I think the best news of the day is hearing that Jeezy's spirits are up, his treatments are going well,
yes, sir.
And eventually he's going to get back in the gym, and hopefully we can get him to come to one of our shows just to hang out and relax and just be around the boys and just feel it, you know, a little bit.
Yep. No doubt.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep.
And, you know, just keep that positivity going and just do what we do, fellas. That's all we can do.
I've also been texting Kevin Kiley as well, too, just trying to just check in on him.
Was probably the tough, like I was in the hospital again, but there's no way I'm taking any shine away from what Jeezy and Kevin are going through. That was a tough little couple weeks for everybody. Everyone kind of had some bad stuff going on. So I'm happy to hear that Kevin's recovering, because I can't wait to get him back on the show. And trying to feel good. We and Luke, I guess we missed Luke today, but you know what happens? He's probably filming. Like every time I look at his social media, he's doing a different movie or TV show. So hopefully Luke will be back next week. But other than that, man, y'all keep doing your thing. I'm gonna get ready for Gutfeld. And I'll holler at you. And Trevor, you better hit me.
I got you.
All right. All right, fellas.
Later.
Enough said. Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.